Hazel left Moon trying to make sense of the undercurrents in those last few comments and moved cautiously forward. Owen was leaning with his head against the coal-black bark of a tree trunk. His desperate breathing had slowed somewhat, but he still had his disruptor in his hand. There was something defeated but still dangerous about him. Hazel hadn't found Owen's outburst funny at all. In all the time she'd known him, he'd never once lost his temper like that. Given what he was capable of, if he got angry enough, Hazel found his sudden loss of control worrying. She stopped a respectful distance away from Owen. Owen didn't look around.
Go away, Hazel.
What's the matter, Owen? It wasn't that bad a landing, all things considered. I mean, we're alive.
It wasn't the landing.
Owen stared off into the scarlet jungle. Rain ran down his face and dripped from his nose and chin.
It's everything. I'm just so damn tired of everything going wrong. I try so hard, and nothing ever comes out the way I plan it. This was supposed to be a simple mission, a quick in and out with no complications. Show up, flash the powers, kick some Hademan butt, and move on to more important matters. Now look at us. Stranded in the middle of nowhere on a cess planet colonized by lepers, while all hell is breaking loose in the Empire. I shouldn't be here. I should be out there, fighting the aliens or the Hademan, or whatever the hell Shub's throwing at us this week. I have a duty, an obligation, to use my abilities to help humanity. But no, I'm stuck here in the back of beyond, when I'm needed elsewhere.
You're needed here, too. The mission is under attack. St. B wouldn't have asked for us unless things were really desperate here.
They're lepers. They're dying anyway. The Empire needs us more.
Every planet, every people, is just as important as any other. Didn't your time as an outlaw teach you anything? It's not just the big important planets like Golgotha that matter. Everyone matters. Oh, I know what this is all about. It's hurt pride. You thought you could just drop in here, act the hero for St. B, and then move on to something more high profile. Instead, you screwed up. You, the Death Stalker, the living legend, and now you're cut off from where the real action is. You think you're the only one that can save the Empire from its enemies. Well, you're wrong. The Empire is perfectly capable of defending itself without you. Even the mighty Death Stalker can't be everywhere at once. Humanity survived perfectly well before we marvelous maze people came along, and they'll manage just as well when we're gone. The maze may have made us more than human, but it didn't make us gods. Now cut the crap and shape up, or I'll slap you a good one.
Owen finally turned his head and looked at her, and something in his cold eyes made Hazel wonder if she'd actually gone too far. But she held her ground, meeting his gaze unflinchingly. And after a moment, Owen relaxed just a little and tried a smile.
You wouldn't really hit me, would you?
Damn right I would.
Okay, I surrender. No more tantrums. Let's go and see what kind of a fix St. B's got herself into.
Are you all right now, Owen?
No, but I am back in control. I'm just tired. Just once I'd like to take a trip on a ship that doesn't crash or get attacked or land me up to my ass in trouble. You said it yourself. I'm supposed to be the great hero, the savior of humanity. And I can't even make my own life work out properly.
Owen, that's part of being human. Everyone's life is like that. Now let's get back to the others and work out what we're going to do next before we all drown in this bloody rain. Doesn't it ever let up?
Not for the last few million years. Maybe we could fashion umbrellas out of the local plants.
I don't think they'd like that.
Hazel looked around her at the surrounding crimson and purple vegetation, all of which seemed to be constantly, if slowly, on the move.
This stuff gives me the creeps. Plants should know their place.
They returned to the others to find Bonnie and Midnight ostentatiously not talking to each other, staring rigidly off in different directions. Moon had given up trying to make sense of the situation and was pretending interest in a quivering purple shrub the size of a small house. Owen gave his crashed ship a last look. It was already so deeply buried under the strange vegetation that it might never have been there.
All right, cut the chatter. It's at least 10 miles to St. B's mission, so the sooner we get started, the sooner we can get there and get out of this rain. Oz, give me directions to the mission.
Of course, Owen. Just head out of this clearing in the direction of those three trees leaning together, and I'll guide you from there. I fear I should brief you about some of the more impressive local vegetation. It can be rather dangerous.
You mean it's poisonous?
More like homicidal. Animal life never really got started here, so the plants prey on each other for space, light, water, rooting, and so forth. Some of them even consume each other, and down the millennia they've developed some very nasty tactics, and lots of ways of expressing their displeasure when thwarted. I suggest you all stick very close together, and be prepared to defend yourselves at any moment.
Owen passed this on, and the others received it with varying degrees of disgust.
Ugh! As if this planet wasn't unpleasant enough. Bad enough my piercings will probably rust up in all this rain, but now we have to hack our way through miles of killer plants. I can feel one of my headaches coming on. I want to go home.
Look on it as a challenge. A warrior never quails from adversity.
You look on it as a challenge and I'll stand back and watch you doing it. Colette, save your spleen for the killer plants. I mean, come on. How dangerous can a few mobile shrubs be?
I have a horrible feeling we're going to find out. Moon, you take the lead. Feel free to shoot or cut up anything at all you don't like the look of. And let's try to set a good pace, people. I hate to think what this place is like when it gets dark. And in case you were wondering, yes, all our torches are back in the ship.
Somehow, I'm not surprised. God, I hate rain.
They followed Oz's murmured directions into the rain-soaked crimson forest, leaving the buried ship behind them. They all had to fight the urge to keep looking back at the mound under which it lay. The Sunstrider II was their last link with civilized technological empire. From now on, they were on their own. There was little shelter to be found anywhere. Rain dripped unceasingly from every surface. Soon they were all soaked to the skin, and rain squelched inside their boots with every step. Their hair was plastered to their faces, and they had to keep blinking their eyes to clear them. The ground under their feet was mostly mud, flattened and compacted like stone in places, but it could change without warning into inches deep gunk in which the party slipped and skidded when they weren't tripping over exposed roots or various kinds of creeping vine or ivy. It was a constant struggle to push their pace to more than a slow walk, and the unrelenting rain beat down on their exposed heads like a feeble but persistent bully. After a while, Owen took off his jacket and draped it over his head as an improvised hood. It meant he was now cold as well as wet, but it was worth it for the simple relief it offered. The others soon did the same, except for Moon, who didn't seem at all bothered by the rain, and couldn't understand why everyone got so surly when he said so. He tried pointing out new plant species of interest, but that went down even less well, so he gave up and walked happily on in silence. The jungle stretched off in every direction, for as far as the eye could see, into the driving rain. Dark, bold trees with jagged black bark soared hundreds of feet up into the sky, their vast, bowing branches weighed down, with curling, serrated leaves the color of blood. Owen reached up to touch one of the leaves. The jagged edge opened his fingertip like a razor. He gripped the leaf more firmly and was surprised to find it thick and pulpy and unpleasantly warm to the touch, almost uncomfortably so. He sucked thoughtfully at his lacerated finger, ignoring Hazel's snide remarks with the ease of long practice. The jungle was every shade of red imaginable, giving the foliage a disturbingly fleshy look, as though it was accustomed to gorging itself on endless supplies of blood, and as if plasma rather than sap ran through the leaves' distended veins. Owen considered the possibility of vampire plants, but couldn't see what they would have to prey on, apart from each other. He was becoming convinced that on some level the jungle was definitely aware, if not actually sentient, and knew that intruders were passing through it. Vines circled slowly on tree trunks like dreaming snakes, and tall stalks would turn to face the party as they passed, quivering agitatedly till they had been left safely behind. Owen also couldn't help noticing that at least half the vegetation seemed to be slowly but determinedly stalking the other half. The first attack caught them all by surprise. Long, flailing tendrils with inch-long thorns lashed out at them from every side at once, striking with unexpected strength and speed. The barbs drew blood, and the blood-red tendrils sought to wrap themselves around their prey with springy tenacity.
Oh, I hate it when vegetables get all grabby!
But they parted easily under the keen edge of a steel blade, and the oozing remnants sprang away again. More tendrils struck down from above, but the party stood their ground, hacking and cutting about them, till the tattered sections were forced to retreat. Owen's disruptor blasted one of the areas where the tendrils had seemed to spring from. The others followed suit, and soon there were half a dozen small fires burning around them. There was a certain amount of quivering and rustling in the surrounding foliage, but what was left of the tendrils showed no signs of contemplating any further aggression. Owen put his gun away and looked at the others.
Anyone badly hurt?
Just scratches. Damn, those things were fast.
Should we do something about the fires? They could spread.
Let them.
Midnight wiped away blood from a cut on her face that had come dangerously close to an eye.
Treacherous, bloody things. Let them all burn.
The rain should take care of the fires, and the foliage looks too drenched to catch a light. But let's try to remember, there could be colonist settlements not that far away. So if you have to use your guns, aim carefully.
Yes, leader. I'm sure that would never have occurred to us. However did we manage till you came along?
Owen ignored that and gestured for Moon to lead off again. The slow march continued, slogging through deepening mud until their legs ached from the strain. Moon continued to treat it all like a casual nature ramble, stopping every now and again to pull up some unfamiliar piece of plant life, compare it against his databanks, and announce happily that since it wasn't officially identified, he had the right to name it. Unfortunately, this tended to involve very labored puns in Latin, which no one but Moon and occasionally Owen understood or appreciated, so after a few pointed death threats from certain members of the party, he kept his enthusiasm to himself, silently studying everything that didn't shrink away fast enough. Given the overall denseness of the jungle, and the way all the plant life fought for every square inch of light and rain, Owen had expected to spend most of his journey hacking a path through the vegetation with his sword. But after the incident with the barbed tendrils, the jungle seemed to be going out of its way to open up a path slowly ahead of them. Owen thought some more about how aware the jungle might be. He raised the subject with Oz, who responded with a running commentary on what was known of Lacrimae Christi's plant life. Most of this was monumentally boring, and Owen tuned it out until something odd caught his attention.
A remarkable absence of any insect life. There are various possible...
Hold it, Oz. Back up. No insects at all here. Are you sure?
Quite sure. Like animal life, they just never caught on here. The plant life is so aggressive on all levels that any other kinds of life never found an ecological niche to prosper.
But if there are no insects, and as far as I can see no flowers, how do the plants propagate? How does fertilization occur?
Well, it certainly doesn't involve the birds and the bees. Take a look over to your right, about 4 o'clock.
Owen looked, and saw two large masses of foliage moving together, rocking back and forth.
Wait a minute. Are they doing what I think they're doing?
I'm afraid so. Animal life may not have developed here, but certain animal practices apparently did. You should think yourselves lucky you didn't arrive in the rutting season. Do you want to know how the trees do it?
No.
Suit yourself. You've led a really sheltered life in some ways, Owen. The peculiar meteorological aspect...
The AI went back to talking about how the rain drained away through cracks in the ground and ended up in vast subterranean lakes that fed the jungle's great root system, and Owen went back to not listening. They trudged on for another hour or so, getting even wetter and more miserable before the jungle moved against them again. They'd fallen into a plodding routine, following the path that lay itself open before them.
I'm afraid I must point out here that the path is slowly but surely turning you off course.
Hold it, everyone!
They all snapped out of their half-daze and looked quickly about them, guns at the ready. Owen calmed them down and explained the situation, and took the lead so he could follow Oz's directions more exactly. But when he tried to turn aside from the path, the red foliage clumped stubbornly together before him, forming a thick, ragged wall. Owen drew his sword and cut at the wall with all his strength, but just as before, his blade clung stickily to the foliage, limiting the amount of damage he could do. He pulled his sword free, stepped back, and opened fire with his disruptor. The energy beam blasted a narrow tunnel through the plant wall, lined with blackened and burning edges. But as soon as Owen moved forward, the scorched sides just closed together again like a slow-moving man-trap.
Stubborn, isn't it? I get the feeling that's going to happen whichever way we try to go. The jungle really doesn't want us deviating from the path it's chosen.
Maybe it's hiding something, some vulnerable part of itself.
Little baby jungle things? Could we be trespassing on a nursery?
Moon looked at Owen.
How long would it take for us to go around whatever it is?
Owen consulted with Oz, and then shook his head.
Depends on how large an area the jungle is protecting. Let's try curling around it. If it looks like it's taking us too long, we'll see what some high explosives will do. You do have some, don't you, Hazel?
Never without them.
Owen led the way cautiously around the blocked-off area, following the path that formed itself before him. He kept his gun in his hand. It seemed to him that there was something sinister in the jungle's slow, deliberate intentions. He looked carefully about him for possible traps or ambush points. He tried to visualize what kind of drowsy, sluggish thoughts a plant might think, and wasn't surprised when he couldn't. He led the way for a good half hour before realizing that something was wrong. Except for the foliage that drew slowly apart in front of him to form the path, nothing in the jungle was moving. Not a vine, nor a branch, nor a leaf. He stared about him into the endless twilight, straining his eyes against the tangle of the jungle and the never-ending rain, but all was still and silent. Owen hefted his disruptor. His instincts were screaming that he was walking into a trap, but he couldn't see anything dangerous or even threatening. If anything, the path ahead seemed wider than usual, but he was haunted by the sense that something was about to happen. Hazel moved up beside him.
You feel it too, don't you?
The jungle's been watching us, leading us here. It's planning something.
Intelligent plants. Spooky.
Would it help if I apologized for all the salads I've eaten?
I doubt it. You see anything?
Not a damn thing. Nothing above or around us, for as far as I can see. What do we do?
Keep moving. Be ready to react whenever whatever it is hits us. We fought Hademan and Grendels. I doubt there's anything a bunch of plants can throw at us that we can't handle.
Now you're getting cocky, Deathstalker.